If you're able on this Resurrection Sunday to remain standing as we hear these words of resurrection. This Sunday's gospel reading is the Easter story, as Matthew records in Matthew 28. Hear these words that capture our gospel. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He was risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. And alleluia. You may be seated. Once again, will you join me in prayer? Wonderful God, you who make new again and again, enliven the thoughts of our minds, revitalize the cells of our bodies, and cause a fresh outburst of praise to surge in our hearts so that we might taste the life that is truly life this day. In the name of the one whose face is shining like the sun. Amen and amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The words that the angel had shared to the two women on that morning as they got up in the early, as the dawn was just breaking. Whatever they were feeling inside, making their way to the tomb, everything is turned over on its head as the words of the angel rings out to them. He has been raised. All that Good Friday held, all that sorrow, loss, and emptiness that is palpable on Holy Saturday were abruptly ended with the words from the angel, "He has been raised." The whole gospel is held within these four words. That God continues to be at work creating, raising to new life, and that death's total reign is over. Christ has been raised, highlighting that all may be raised, that our life continues to grow and to flourish. And as people of faith, we recognize that each Sunday is always an Easter Sunday, always a day of resurrection where we come and we worship the resurrected Lord. But today is a bit more. It is a bit more extraordinary because it matches with this day where we celebrate the risen Christ. Our church is adorned with flowers, some in memory of loved ones that we know that we will see once again. The power of the resurrection is real. The music this morning swells our hearts, and we have gathered for breakfast, and there's a chance that our bellies have swelled a little bit themselves. Our lives feel full, for this is truly a feast day. The good news of Easter is the best news any of us will ever hear. This story, and today, feels so good amidst the feelings and passions of Easter, on a day that is filled with emotions, whatever we've been carrying outside of this building and bringing with us to the inside of this building that meets the feelings and the emotions that are caught within the story and the power of the resurrection, we find that there's a mix all around. But this morning, I want our hearts to focus on two emotions. And the two emotions that continue to embody our energy today, the two emotions that were present on the first day of the week, that first Sunday morning when the sun was dawning and the birds have just begun to sing. I heard them this morning as the sun was just coming up. And the anticipation of a new day beginning continues to bubble up, and whatever is unknown becomes very present and real in our lives. On a day that defines our faith, I would like us to lean into Matthew's words in this resurrection story of the two emotions, the first two witnesses and preachers of the good news shared and felt, as Matthew writes. And they headed out with fear and great joy. So let's hold those together within the whole story of this resurrection that we read in Matthew, that this command that comes afterwards as they head out from the tomb, as the angel says, and as they meet Jesus on the way, and Jesus says as well, go and tell. Two women woke early and went to the tomb. And all that they had anticipated, all that they had prepared themselves for, maybe even getting the courage up to even go to this place of emptiness and loss that they had felt, was changed in an instant. As the ground shook underneath them, and their whole lives and the whole world broke open, as the angel said to them, "He is not here. He has been raised." And the angel invites them into the tomb. Don't mind the two or three guys laying there looking dead. They'll wake up. Come and see that this tomb is empty. Jesus has been raised. And the angel leans into them and says, go and tell. I want you to go from this place and go to the disciples and tell them to meet me in Galilee, meet Jesus in Galilee. Fear and great joy. Each of us knows what it's like to be filled with fear. It's a motivator, isn't it? It can captivate us and make us do something with, oftentimes without really clear thought or thinking through, because we're just frightened by what might be sitting behind or the consequences within there. Some of us find it fear all too real, and we know that it can be easily peddled on the news that we listen to or read, or maybe the news we just received from a doctor or a loved one. Maybe it's the fear that just hangs behind in the silence and the void that kind of sits where things have not been said, and it just kind of echoes within our lives. Or there's been changes in your own life, and the fear of your friends, and the fear hangs out in front of us as if our friends or family will still accept us. Or maybe it's that core sense within ourselves where we really wonder of how far and deep God's love goes, and the question, does God really love me? And it seems to creep inside of us. Fear is easily used to persuade. It captures us in our vulnerability and takes hold. I think that's why the women in the story and us, once again this morning, need to hear the words of the angel and the words of Jesus, both before and after they head out with this news that they are to carry. The angel leans in towards them and says, do not be afraid. Come and see. Jesus is gone. Now I need you to go. And to be honest, to hear those words takes some discipline. It takes practice to hold that fear open in front of us and allow the larger story of our lives and the fuller story of who God is and what God has been and is at work doing, reminding us that we are loved. To hold that fear out that we might often have that surrounds our lives and just say, this is what I have. God, come and tend to this. And that full life that God promises through the work of Jesus Christ and the gift of the resurrection is a gift that we are given that speaks into that fear that might surround us. And here we find great joy. It takes practice to learn how to hold on to great joy, to let that speak louder in our lives than the fear does. For each of us know what true joy feels like. Sometimes it's hard to let it come in and speak into our lives, and we have to give it permission to do so. It takes practice. It may even take some convincing in our own lives. We may even need to look within our scriptures and hear about what it looks like to have joy and to remind ourselves that we have permission to do so. Even at the beginning when Jesus is not even quite yet on the scene. He's in the womb, and Mary comes and meets her cousin Elizabeth, who's with child, who's the mother of John the Baptist, and what happens as they meet? Elizabeth feels her womb jump for joy as this child knows it's in the presence of Jesus. Or the story of the father, the prodigal son, that amidst all that had gone wrong, all that was selfish, all that was taken away, runs down the road, and grown men don't run, with great joy to embrace his wayward son, this fullness of just grabbing on to the fullness of what God is doing in reestablishing people and the gift of a son coming back. We read in 1 John of the disciples meeting Jesus and grabbing onto him. John is pretty literal when he writes this. We grabbed onto him and we held him. It's like they're almost roughhousing, though not intending to roughhouse, but they're just going after. I cannot believe you are here. They are so filled with joy. Maybe it's the joy experienced after years of living under the burden of guilt and shame, and for once, you hear the words and you fully believe it and you accept it. You hear the words, you are forgiven. And you know that that forgiveness is gone from you because we're God, as we read in Psalm 103, from the east to the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. The joy that is found when you discover that your passion and talents are meeting with a great need within the world. And it fits so well that you cannot explain quite how it just can feel so good that what you're doing has purpose and vitality to the world around you. The joy of watching children make new discoveries and remembering that you too can do the same. Watching them wobble as they begin to walk and how the world just gets bigger and the smile on their face. And you learn once again that you too can experience new things, embracing the gift of joy around you. And the joy of hearing once again the gift of God in Jesus and that our lives are understood and defined in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And that fear cannot capture any bit of that. Because on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday, hearing the story that we hear over and over again, we are once again reminded of the gift and the power of the resurrection, that death is defeated, that life is a gift that continues to move on, that God's love reached in the deepest and darkest places of the earth and gathered us back, and we get to carry that with us. That amidst the fear that we might often hear, we are so filled and captivated with the joy of the story that our story is much larger and greater because it belongs to the story that God has been a part of and God has been doing throughout all time. Within the story of the resurrection, we are reminded that joy always wins. Always. Even amidst the things that pour down in our lives, we need to have the discipline to lean in to know that there's so much more going on in the world, so much more going on that God is at work doing, that we might pause. We might not always feel happy, but we might pause for a moment and recognize the goodness of what God is doing, that joy always wins. And if we hold these emotions that often fill our days, at times where we feel like we have some fear that kind of surrounds us, and we try to discipline and earnestness and eagerness to hold on to the story that is so wonderfully made, and to grasp onto that joy that surrounds that whole story in our lives, we hear the words of the angel, "Go and tell. Go and share this. Go to my disciples," and as we learn through the ends of the earth, this story is going to be echoing out throughout the world. So the angel says to the women, "Go and tell others of this great joy, with this great news that is at the center of and defines our faith. Everything is great and wonderful. Everything is new. You'll still have some hardships along the way, but at the very center, the very core of who we are, let joy ring out loud. Go and tell the others that Christ has been raised, death has been defeated." And like the women, we too, when we go on our way, we may meet Jesus. Because as they left that tomb, Jesus is around the corner and says, "Greetings." And they worshiped him. Maybe we meet Jesus in a friendship, maybe it's in a stranger. Just a few chapters earlier, Jesus is talking to his disciples of where they might find him. So maybe we too find Jesus in those places like Jesus taught, in prison or hungry or thirsty. In those places where we are least expecting, we get to move out with this story of great joy and hope in the places that need it most, carrying the story that our lives will never be the same. The resurrection is the gospel story, a story that fills us with joy, that becomes our way and our words in a world in which we live, that God continues to create and enliven each one of us and instills within us, invites us and directs us to move out in the world with this joy that we carry, to share the good news of great joy with others. First Covenant, may you be filled with great joy today. And may you carry that story through works and through words wherever you go. Amen.